Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I made a decision very early on not to be bitter and not to be angry.
The most important message the children need to hear is, we've got this.
If you don't keep moving forward, you will get stuck in time and you will be stuck in your grief.
Grief Encounters, a podcast about love, life and loss. We'll be chatting to guests on the subject of death and all that comes with it.
Subscribe now to Grief Encounters,
out every single Tuesday.
So let's try some levels. We'll start with what's now been established as a tradition, that we test the levels with a joke.
Oh, with a jerk?
Yeah, I've got a bit of a grammatical joke for you. Do you want to hear a
grammatical? Oh, I love a grammatical jerk. Anything, any kind of linguist jerk, I'm a big fan of.
Well, I thought you would be. So it's a question mark and an exclamation mark. All right, They're meeting in a bar and they're discussing their love life in this bar. And the question mark says to the exclamation mark, do you know what? I'm never going to date another apostrophe. That last one was so possessive.
That's good.
That sort of works. I thought you'd like that.
You
like
I enjoy it. I like those
witty,
kind of
intelligent sort of jokes.
Right. Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas.
It's a week till Christmas.
It is a week
till
Christmas.
Hasn't this year gone fast?
It's absolutely flown by. So should we start?
I think it's true what they say about that years go quicker as you get older.
They do. So just think how quick they're going for me. They're just zooming. They're zooming back.
It's like the whole dog year thing.
It's like the whole dog year thing, you're right. As you correctly pointed out, it is Christmas very soon.
One week. I've not got any presents yet.
Right, 1 week away from Christmas. And of course you're thinking about presents and Santa and all that. Do you give much thought to the baby Jesus? I mean, having been...
Got a great deal.
Yeah. I mean, all those years of Catholic education...
Sorry, I just yawned.
I know you did. Well, I haven't even started
yet. But Christmas is not even the biggest deal to Catholics. Easter is more important.
But at this time of the year, it's a good opportunity, isn't it, to think about the baby Jesus
A good opportunity to think about other people.
I noticed that the Church of England has launched...
Protestants. No, I'm not allowed to say that, really, am I?
No, you're not really. The Church of England has launched... see, personally, I couldn't care less.
Well, it's only a jerk. I don't actually... I mean, they're all the same, aren't they, really?
Of course they're all the same. And also all the other religions as well.
Essentially
the same. It's all either fantasy or not fantasy, whichever way you look at it.
Well, you'll soon find out. Fingers crossed I don't have to find out till... a while.
No, well, you will all find out sooner or later whether it's all nonsense. I think it's going to
be... I think it is.
I think logically it's going to be all nonsense.
The more I think about it, the more I think, surely not.
Yeah. Well...
It just sounds made up, doesn't it?
It does sound made up. The only thing that sort of worries me about death is that it might turn out to all be true.
Then you'll have to do it again.
No, well, I don't know what will happen. You know, the fact that if there is something after death, that's a real worry, you know, because everybody, all the time, you go around saying, well, life's short, you know, and then if you find you've got another 1,000 years or eternity to get through.
You shouldn't live your life as if there's something after, because then what is this life, the practice round?
No, I quite agree with you. All those expressions, that it's not a rehearsal and all that. And the thought of just eternity... stretching out in front of me.
I think it's more likely there could be a higher power, but I don't think there's anything after death. I think when you're dead, you're dead.
So what's a higher power doing? Just
I don't know, just sorting it out. I'm not sure.
Certainly not sorting out Brexit. That's not.
No.
No. If there is anything after death, it is, as I say, a concern that the thought of eternity stretching out in front of me, having been to see Cats, you know, you really don't want to go through all that again.
Oh, that was so. You've sort of been brewing that one up for years. I've been waiting for a moment to get that.
Well, anytime anybody mentions anything just sort of going on and on, I've been to funerals that were more interesting than Cats.
I've not been to many funerals at all.
No.
I guess they get more common.
You get, as you get older, you tend to go to more because you know more people.
Less weddings, more funerals.
Fewer weddings.
Because you can have less of a wedding.
Yeah, we do that every single week. It's fewer weddings, not
you can have less,
less weddings. No.
You can have less of a wedding.
No, you can have less matrimony.
No, because you can have less of a wedding.
Less matrimony.
You can go to just the reception.
But that's not what you meant. You meant less weddings. You meant
weddings. Less of a wedding. No. Then I only get invited to the reception because they're not a close friend.
Do you feel that the Church of England's advert for Christmas... which basically what they're saying it's not just about presents, it's not about overeating and building up a large credit card bill. That's what they say. I agree with you. I think it's just a big old pagan festival which we've sort of stapled on a bit of religion to make it so we don't feel so guilty about it. But it's a pagan festival.
Also, I don't think there's anything... Okay.
Wait. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it.
Does the Church of England have a Pope?
No, the Church of England has the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Could the Archbishop of Canterbury be a woman? Because can women be bishops? I've forgotten.
Yeah, women can. Church of England's fine with that. Women can be bishops.
Maybe I'll convert. Is that a long process?
What, converting from Catholic to Church of England?
Yeah.
No, dead easy.
Really?
Dead easy.
I guess Henry VIII did it, didn't he?
Yeah, that's very, very easy to convert from Catholic to Church of England.
What do you have to do? Do you have to say a promise?
Fill in a form, it's £20. And
is it?
No.
Oh, you didn't know?
As far as I can see, there's virtually no difference between...
They believe sort of that... Church of England believe that... don't believe in transubstantiation.
Is that right?
I didn't know that. Catholics believe that when you get given like the body and blood of Christ, like when you get the wine and the thing, they believe that when the priest does the magic... I'm not sure actually the Catholic Church refer to it as magic.
No.
But when he like waves his hands around, then they believe that that's actually becoming Jesus.
Yep.
And the Church of England believe that it's just a symbol.
So are you in the slightest bit interested in anything Joan Collins has to say? Do you even know who Joan Collins is?
I thought she died.
No, Joan Collins is another one of those people who's not dead.
Who died then?
Who died?
The comedian woman, she had a lot of work done.
Oh, Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers, yeah. I get those two confused. Joan Collins alive. Yeah.
Joan Collins very much alive.
She like on Loose Women.
She has been on Loose Women. She's one of those sort of women that would very much be on Loose Women.
One of those type of women.
Yeah, well, very much so. Well, when I say that, I mean a sort of
gobby.
You're
definitely not allowed to say that.
I'm not allowed to say that.
No, I'm not allowed to say gobby.
Anyway, well, Joan Collins is she's described in the papers as a former Hollywood starlet. So you can guess that she would. But do you know?
No, I know Joan Collins, yeah.
Do you know who she is?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, because she crops up on programmes.
She's been on Graham's. Been on Graham Norton, and wasn't she Adam West's when he was Batman?
She'd probably been in an episode or two of Batman. She may have been in an episode or two, only a minor part. She wasn't like Batgirl.
But
she wasn't a major character. She may have been in one or two episodes.
Yeah, I thought she was.
Because she was in lots of stuff during the 60s. She was in lots of stuff during the 70s. She's now 85 years old.
That's old. That is so old.
And she appeared this week on Good Morning Britain with Piers Morgan. She's denounced the consent culture, right? Saying it's, quote, out of control. She says, what's going to happen to seduction? This is what she said on Good Morning Britain.
What?
Is it not going to be allowed anymore? Is somebody going to have to ask permission to the parents before they kiss a girl? She scoffed, I tell you, at recent calls for the song Baby It's Cold Outside. You know.
Oh, yeah, this is kind of stupid.
It is kind of stupid. To be taken off the radio after claims that it referred to non-consensual date rape. Dame Joan was egged on, I can't believe it, by Piers Morgan.
Oh, yeah.
It says here the show's co-host.
Shocker.
Yeah. But anyway, she says you can't say anything these days. You can't say somebody has frizzy hair. You can't say they're short. The only thing you can do is you can make jokes about age. And she has a point there.
Well, she has a point there that, yeah, people are ageist and people do tend to take the piss out of old people. But
that happens a lot, doesn't it? I've noticed that. I've only recently noticed that.
People take the idea of, like, consent. It's just a tactic by people who are right-wing to make feminists, or not even feminists, actually, to make anyone feel stupid for saying that rape culture exists.
I don't understand how being anti-feminist is automatically considered right-wing. I don't see that it's anything to do with right and left, to be honest. To me,
well, socially, probably, right and left, not...
No, not even socially right and left. If you look at the history of left-wing politics, it's way more sexist than right-wing politics. People who are right-wing in economic matters, so they don't think the government should have loads of control, you know, and the government should run everything, that would be considered right-wing.
But in communist, in like Marxist communist ideology, women are meant to be equal with men. And that's what, when Lenin first implemented communism, it was like the first time it had ever been implemented, that was one of his first things, was a decree of equality between the sexes. But you would also call, so a place like, say, Saudi Arabia, where women literally have a lot less rights than men.
Fewer rights.
You can have less of a right, can't you?
Well, you can't have less rights, you have fewer rights. Although that's my last fewer less of 2018. My final
I don't believe you
fewer
ever.
Slash less of
so you can have where women really do have fewer rights and have only just been like allowed to drive and stuff. That's a right-wing country, Saudi Arabia, both socially and economically.
Well
actually, it's not even economically right-wing, is it, because the government has so much control.
It's a monarchy, isn't it? I don't think you can say what's right-wing and left-wing.
Okay, well, so if you believe in equality between the sexes,
I don't think Joan Collins is what you'd call right. I mean, she probably is right-wing, but when she's talking about consent, that's particularly right-wing.
So what I basically meant was people take things to the extreme, and you see it in newspapers. There was stuff going around about the Daily Mail, an article about feminists wanting snowmen to be gender neutral and stuff, and they write about that to detract from the actual issues of like rape culture and
but when you say rape culture, I don't see, I mean, we've agreed that baby it's cold outside, that's, you forget that, it's not,
well, I think that
that's,
like,
that's nonsense.
No, I think that it's of its time, same as Joan Collins is of her time. But actually, when you do really dig deeply into the lyrics, that is kind of, it is kind of a little bit weird. Like, even when you listen to it, it is a bit, like...
Yeah.
A little bit weird, do you know what I mean? But I'm sure the person who originally said it wasn't calling for a ban on the song Baby It's Cold Outside. It sells newspapers, but it's not always what the actual problem is. It'd be nice
What is the problem? I mean, when you keep saying rape culture, what is the rape culture?
We were talking about consent. So the idea that a culture around being taught as boys that when a girl says no, she really just wants you to like charm her until she says yes, but if someone says no to you, they're actually just saying no.
But do you not think that message is sort of got across? All right, it was maybe a grey
people get raped a lot, don't they,
more than ever? I mean,
not
rape
less
exists.
Than before. Do you think rape will have fallen? I don't have the statistics, but
no, I don't have
I'm
the
sure it will.
I suspect it's stayed about the same.
And there was the story about the girl who went travelling on her own and she was killed, like, really brutally when she was in New Zealand, I think. And then loads of people just blamed her for travelling on her own.
Did they?
Not the guy who murdered her.
Oh,
yeah,
no,
there was loads of that.
Where was that? Was that on social network? Because I didn't see any of that.
On social networks,
I saw
probably,
that story in the papers. Well, yeah, I mean, basically what we're saying is there are a lot of idiots on social networks. But that was always been a lot worse than it is now. Way worse, you know, in terms of the actual law and the way people are cross-examined in court and the way the police gather evidence.
Well, yeah, I'm not
it's
saying that
it
hasn't...
way more sensitive now than
I'm
it
I'm not saying that
be.
It isn't better than it was. I still think that there's a lot of, like, problems in the world, but that one of them is now this thing of, like, and especially with, like, trans rights and stuff, of people latching on to stuff that is wild and then use it to criticize what are moderate rights. So with, like, trans issues, people will use the idea of, like, gender neutral snowmen, which is something that trans people don't really care about. What they actually want is to be treated equally. And that's not... But then you never see those types of stories, and it creates, like, this culture of transphobia.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, when you said last week, let's bring in some Christmas tunes, our favourite Christmas tunes, possibly.
Yeah, screwed up.
I actually took that to mean, let's bring in some Christmas tunes. So I've
really?
Actually...
Really? I don't know how you got that. I was so clear.
Yeah, amazing. So basically what I brought in is a tune by Merle Haggard. Are you familiar with Merle Haggard?
No.
Well, Merle Haggard...
She sounds like a line from Fairy Tale of New York.
Yes, it does in a way. Merle Haggard is a country music, so you know I love country music. And this is absolute classic blue-collar redneck music. Sadly, we won't get into the lyrics of the song, but the lyrics of the song are all about being laid off at the factory, and it's in a sort of a no-mark place in America, like Sponge Cake, Idaho or someplace.
Idaho. Yeah. Apparently really nice this time of year.
Yeah, apparently it is. It's one of those sort of nondescript places.
Where
it's very, very cold in the winter. And if you want to know a bit about Merle Haggard, he came from one of those places. He came from Muskogee in Oklahoma. And you can just imagine what it's like in Muskogee in Oklahoma, a strip mall maybe, one street. You know, it's a one-horse town where somebody stole the horse, as they all say. Although, having said that, Muskogee is the 11th largest city in Oklahoma. But the interesting thing was he was prominent and popular about the time of the Vietnam protests in 67, 68 in America. And he was on the other side politically, so he was sort of quite right-wing, but later became adopted by hippies. You know, the hippies liked him, despite the fact that he was in favour of the Vietnam War, etc., etc. And the song's called it "If We Make It Through December."
If we make it through December, everything's gonna be all right, I know. It's the coldest time of winter, and I shiver when I see the falling snow.
So that's all we can hear of that, but it's a sort of chilly Christmas. That's one of my favourites anyway, Merle Haggard.
I like it.
So you've brought in...
not a Christmas song.
Not a Christmas song at all. So you've countermanded your own instructions.
Yeah,
there.
I know.
And you've brought in, what is it, Migos?
Migos.
Migos and Is You Ready?
Yeah.
Which grammatically speaking, not correct. It should be Are You Ready?
Is it not?
Are you ready?
Oh!
Is you ready?
Ready!
You say you ready.
Oh!
Whole squad ready.
Ready!
Is you ready?
Huh?
Are you ready?
Ready?
Is you ready? Whole squad ready. We came here to see Jet. What you got?
No.
Not on my watch.
No way.
Bring what you got. I'm going to the top.
Hey.
You can bring what you got. I'm going to the top. Bring what you got.
I think that's the most different our song's ever been.
Yes.
I think that's it.
There was no hint of Merle Haggard in there.
No.
Is You Ready by Migos, so tell us about
Migos.
It.
Migos. You say it quite...
Migos.
You say it quite like Spanish-y.
Yeah, well, is he not Spanish?
No,
it's
an American hip-hop trio.
Right, American
They're from Lawrenceville in Georgia.
Yeah, that's one of those places.
Anyway, they've got some really famous songs, but I chose this one because it's from the film. It's one of their newer
it's
ones.
It's from a soundtrack, I know.
It's from Mile 22. Awesome.
Mile 22.
Is that what it's called?
Yep, that's exactly what it's called.
And I chose this one because it's one of the ones that is not as well known. I didn't want to do one that was really well known. Offset is who's one of the three of them. That's his stage name, not his real name.
Really.
He was with Cardi B, who we've had another week, a different
week.
We
have Cardi B, I know.
Because you liked Cardi B, didn't you?
Yeah, Cardi B was all right. But she's
had a baby
that
with,
much.
Like, Offset and stuff. And then
she's had a baby with
Yeah,
Offset.
And then I think that Offset cheated on her, and then they broke up.
Well, it's interesting, because I'm just looking through my notices.
Yeah, I can
notices
see you frantically.
I'm frantically looking for my Cardi B story. Celebrities who endorse detox teas.
Oh, yeah, this is bad.
Yeah, containing laxatives on social media.
So bad.
Are promoting unobtainable body images and should face tougher regulation, campaigners say. Mm. The reality TV star Khloe Kardashian and rappers Cardi B and Iggy Azalea among those embroiled in a row with a British model who branded them irresponsible for accepting six-figure sums to advertise these products on Instagram.
It is really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really, really unhealthy. And also, all you're doing is you get rid of, like, loads and loads of water weight and stuff.
Mm.
And then, but you're not actually losing.
No, they're no good. They're no good
for
you.
They're stupid.
Mm. Yeah, well, we're now boycotting Cardi B from the podcast.
Oh, are we?
Yeah, no, because of that, you see. No more Cardi B. Lots of emails, Ruth. A lot of them suggesting bits of music, so we'll give them a mention, even though we're not playing the music. But we may play them another week. Chris sends us one here. He says, I love the podcast. And he says, I have a foot in both camps, as I'm technically one of Martin's cronies, having enjoyed his segment on Hawksby and Jacobs the last couple of years. However, I'm much closer to Ruth's demographic as a 26-year-old from Sheffield.
Yeah, so, sprightly.
Yes, sprightly, absolutely. Anyway, he makes some music suggestions, which I've passed on to you, which you will consider in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, you can have a listen to them.
Yeah.
And have you seen Childish Gambino's This Is America video?
Yeah. It's really clever. Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll have a look.
It is.
Maybe
you should watch that.
I'll have a look at that and we'll see. Mm-hmm. And he says, I'm incredibly jealous of youth heading off of Ruth. Of youth.
Is that a Freudian slip?
It probably is. He says, I'm incredibly jealous of Ruth heading off to uni. Make sure you make the most of it, Ruth. Mm-hmm. As, he says, speaking from experience, they will be the best years of your life, and then it's downhill from there. Sorry. And Alan suggested a bit of music as well, which you can either have a look to listen to or not. Loyal Carner, he mentions, but we did play Loyal Carner, didn't we?
And, played Ottolenghi.
Scrooby.
He did a video. I saw that. I didn't watch it, but I saw that he did a video with the actual Ottolenghi.
Yeah.
Cooking.
And we got one more from Hugh, who writes to us on a regular basis about racism. Did you read this?
I didn't.
Do you want me to tell you about it?
Yeah, go on then.
He was talking about the racism at the football, you know, Raheem Sterling.
I'm with you.
Said, good pod as always, but the first time about racism fascinated me, as it's something my now 19-year-old son and I have talked about many times. Martin, I think you're blessed with daughters, so you don't spend most of your weekends standing on the football touchline. Well, you say
but
that.
But you've got a son.
I've got a son, that was my first one. And I did my time standing on touchlines on Sunday afternoons. He says a lot of things, he said, have disgusted him in terms of racism. But in terms of everything standing on the touchline, it is just a toxic atmosphere at times.
Well, yeah, it's just get a bunch of men together and it's bad atmosphere.
Oh, it's very bad.
If you've seen, so if you watch the programme, it was a Channel 4 like experiment programme called Eden.
Oh, yeah.
Where they put them in a...
It all went pear-shaped, didn't it?
Basically. They put the group of men and women in the Highlands of Scotland and they were completely, like, away from the world and stuff, and they had to kind of build what they would want their world to look like or whatever. And one of the things that did happen was there was a group of men, big, like, macho men, who went and lived in the woods away from the women, and some of the women and some of the more, I guess you'd say, effeminate, and they went feral. And they just created this atmosphere where they just, like, were massively misogynistic. Like, it was very, like, Lord of the Flies-esque and whatever. Yeah. And but I would recommend watching some of those episodes that they did, because as, like, as an actual programme, it probably wouldn't have been that good. But because it unravelled the social experimentness of it, is quite interesting.
Yes, I read pieces about that in the paper, but didn't see the programme. Anyway, this is not feral because it's in Surrey. He says it's all. He says all middle class and white. He said less than 10% people of colour, I guess. But we're only 9 miles from Croydon in one direction and Crawley in the other. So you know, there were black footballers there. The first time James and his team encountered racism was before they started playing on full size pitches around under tens, when the only non white lad of Sri Lankan descent was treated to the same language as Raheem Sterling got at Chelsea. Racism had never occurred to James before. He was shocked, angry on his teammates' behalf, and also confused because the opponents on that day, who were racially abusing, had several black players. They were black, he was Sri Lankan, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So it's sort of black and Asian, really. Which is what he was interested, why he was interested in what you said about your friends. He said, I was very interested, Ruth said, her friends were more likely to be / feel racist towards people of Pakistani origin.
He said, we were talking about this literally the other day as we were walking to get the train. It just came up, and we were talking about how at school we have Asian teachers, but there's no black teachers. And the people who are like Pakistani, Afghanistani, I guess, I mean, I don't actually know their religion, but probably Muslim. So girls who wear the hijab and stuff are really segregated at school. And like, not because, and like in lessons, lesser, like you would still chat to them, but they stay more with the people who they're friends with. And I guess some of it comes from, so I do like, I have a lesson in the prayer room and then it becomes the prayer room at lunchtime. So I guess that's part of it, because if you're going to pray at lunchtime, then you end up being friends with those people, same as you'd be friends with the people who you're in clubs with. I guess it's that kind of idea. But, and then the people who are black integrate much better with all the other, because the school is majority white, they integrate much better with all the other people, whereas, and so we were chatting about that, and the idea was that just, I guess you'd be more likely to be racist to a group of people who you see as segregated.
Mm. The religious thing makes it different.
Yeah, that's, I think it's a different, it, well, more different culture.
You know,
as
because
well,
we had the Jewish kids at my school. So there was quite a lot of Jewish kids at my school. And we didn't have to go into any, when we had like foundation day at school and there were prayers, we didn't have to go into any prayers. We went into a different room. But then what you find out was everybody knew which kids were Jewish. You wouldn't necessarily know in advance, but they would know which kids were Jewish because they were the kids that, A, you could have Jewish holidays off school, which was very good, and then B...
Did you get the Jewish ones on the, like, Christian ones
off?
Yeah,
of course we did.
Jealous.
So they knew which kids were Jewish, and this is an example of racist teachers. There was one kid who wasn't great academically at all, and we had it was a Jewish kid, wasn't great academically, so it was a careers meeting, you know, so we all went to see the teachers about careers. And what they used to say, they couldn't care less about careers, but they used to, if they thought people would want a white collar career, they'd say, have you thought of going into a bank, and what about Marks and Spencer's? And they kept on suggesting things, and they said to him, after questioning him a little bit, they said, hasn't your father got a business you can go into? which was the sort of attitude you had. Well, you wouldn't do that these days, because HR would be down on you like a ton of bricks. But anyway, thanks for all your emails. If you do want to send us an email, it's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. Now, you had a few things you were going to talk. We always like to talk about the retail world, and you had something to say about ASOS.
ASOS.
They're in trouble,
yeah.
In financial difficulty.
They've had a really bad November and quite a bad December, I think. And so the chief executive, Nick Beaton, and chairman and Adam Crozier have bought thousands of shares. I don't really understand this. So they've bought shares in their own business.
Right. I think it's a case of refinancing.
Yeah, it's to make it look... It's meant to be a show of confidence in the business.
Yes.
So they spent £99,700 buying 3,645 shares for £27.35 each.
ASOS is an online retailer.
It's an online clothes. And the prices have come at a huge reduction to add to the usual price, because it's had the forecast for next year is bad as well. So they've had really bad November and December, and it's not good at all. After they announced about the shares, it saw £1.3 billion wiped off ASOS's valuation.
And you,
so
you
much.
Don't quite understand what's
going on. Which
shares
down almost 40%. They've blamed it a lot on like political uncertainty and stuff. But I don't really understand how that would affect ASOS's business. And also, it seems like ASOS would be doing better because more and more people are shopping online, but clearly that's not the case.
So you're asking me what's going on
there? Yeah, what's going on?
Well, I think what's going on is that businesses generally are plagued with uncertainty at the moment. And if
they were blaming it on Brexit.
Well, if
I saw someone tweet that was like, love that ASOS is blaming politics on their falling shares, like some girl holds off buying a £15 leather skirt based on whether Theresa May's deal's going to go through.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's so much that. I think it is people will...
It's a subconscious effect.
I don't think there's a subconscious effect. I think it's a sort of drip-down effect. I think if people are out there in the working world and the company that they're working for is going through hard times. Now, it might be going through hard times because it's an exporting company. I mean, you can understand that they'd be going through hard times.
Yeah.
Not because they're either in favour of Brexit or against Brexit, but simply through the uncertainty.
Yeah, yeah.
They would be going through hard times, and that would drip down through the company. So if you're just somebody
it's mad how
working,
big of an effect it's made.
Yeah, well, it would do because it's
can we just stay, please?
Well, whether we stay or go, I mean, they want some certainty. We could, you know, they could vote for Theresa May's deal. At least they will then know what's happening.
Yeah,
it's the not
when
knowing.
When do we?
March 29th, we're supposed to leave.
Yeah, yeah, but
just when you're on your French exchange,
it's the day we come back. So they're very worried that we're going to get stuck at border control for ages.
But you are definitely going that week. And you're back on the very day
that
we're due to exit the European Union. But I think that's why ASOS are having trouble. It's just general uncertainty. And I don't know whether they're an exporting company, you know, whether they sell stuff overseas, but if they do, that would exaggerate the trouble. But even if they don't, the uncertainty of it all, it's a complete mess. In fact, I liked the headline in the there was a story in the Times, and the headline was May and Corbyn are locked in a dance of death.
And when will we know whether the decision's okay or not?
Well, not till Christmas. After
Christmas, because they go on holiday, don't they?
They've got 2 weeks off now. Both Piers Morgan and Susanna Reid. And Parliament, 2 weeks off.
How dare they?
How dare they? So
I did see a story in The Guardian that was like, people will forget about the mess behind Brexit, but they won't forget about the 2 weeks holiday they're getting.
Woody Allen's in the news again. Did you see
I did
that?
See this 16-year-old model.
Yes.
Mm. Well, she's not 16 anymore.
No, she's 50, in her 50s now, obviously. But she was 16.
It's getting harder and harder to play the... He's been cleared for everything card.
It is really a model.
I just want to still be able to watch Annie Hall, please.
Yeah, and well, you see, Manhattan is the difficult one to watch. Manhattan is the film that was basically based on his long affair
with
this young girl. It's Mariel Hemingway. I don't know whether she...
I think I have seen it. He plays him, doesn't he?
He plays him
in every film. Yeah. But he, more than ever before, he plays him and he's having an affair with this very young... beautiful model.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
I think I've seen it.
It's black and white.
Yeah.
And Gershwin's music, Rhapsody in Blue. It's a fabulous film. It really is a fabulous film. I mean, you look at it in new light. I mean, the thing about Woody Allen...
No, but I mean, loads of the Weinstein Company's films are brilliant as well.
Mm.
I guess it's art separate from artist, isn't it?
I think we'll... I didn't know. When I saw this story earlier this week, I thought, ooh, blimey.
But you defend Woody Allen. You say that he's not done anything wrong because they've not caught him. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're cleared by the law for something...
Yes. My view is that slightly weird and inappropriate, but he's not actually done anything legally wrong. Although this, I think, in American law, was against the law, I believe.
What did he do?
What did he do?
Yeah, no, he was with this 16-year-old
She's
girl.
16, and I think the age of consent was 17 in America at the time.
So
it was, strictly speaking, illegal. I don't know how close to 17 she was.
Well, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter, does it?
Also, if she was 17, it'd still be wrong.
It'd still be...
Because it's the power, isn't it? Power balance.
It would be a power balance thing there. But that was the world in those days.
Yeah, but
that was the world
still,
in 1976.
I'm sure plenty of men did not 1966.
Well, I think a lot of men at 41 years old would want to be with an adult person.
Yeah.
You know, that's like being with a young girl. I mean, I think that makes his cases, his general argument much more difficult to swallow. You know, that's why I looked at that. And whereas before I'd been like 100% staunch in my defence of the great man Woody Allen, when you look at that,
yeah,
you think
we can't
clearly
continue to ignore this.
You think he clearly has a taste for much younger
women.
It's
so gross, but so did so many men. Like, it's so weird.
But if you looked at Shelley, Byron, you know, especially Byron,
men are weird.
Picasso liked very. There's a lot of art. Those artistic men liked very young women.
This is slightly, well, not lowbrow reference, but maybe not as famous as Picasso. If you've seen Louis Theroux, the one about brothels, which I mention every week, there's a girl, and she's like 21 or something, but she looks younger than me. Like, she's got the body of like a 14-year-old. And the woman at the brothel were like, oh, well, you know what the men are like if they go for that girl. And it's like so weird. Just men are weird.
Right. So that's your point there, men are weird.
They are.
Yeah, well, no, I'm inclined to agree with you, but...
Like, more so than women, honestly, I really do believe that.
Well, I don't know, we could go into female weirdness, there's a lot of that as well.
I should have said this earlier because we were talking about Brexit, and they're taking 2 weeks holiday, and ASOS have... It's not good, trickle-down effect and whatever. And James Graham, who is a really, really good playwright, I've just read one of his plays called Ink, which is about the sun. He has written a thing about Brexit that HBO is going to make. And a lot of people have been saying, you know, it's wrong that he's making, like, not him, but it's wrong that they're making this because it's too politically sensitive and it's, like, not finished yet and blah, blah, blah. And I was just wondering what you were thinking. Do you think...
Have you seen
the trailer?
I've read about
Looks
it in
really
the paper.
Good.
It's Benedict Cumberbatch.
Benedict Cumberbatch stars in Brexit.
Yeah. I mean, James Graham's a very good playwright. Mm. I've seen a couple of his plays at the theatre, and I'm actually reading Ink, the one about the sun, which you gave me. So, I think it's perfect. I think it's the ideal time to do a drama about Brexit. I don't think it's too politically sensitive. I don't think
anything's too... And then he was kind of tweeting about it, and he was like... Other people were defending him and stuff, and they were saying nothing is ever too politically sensitive. That's the whole point of like art.
No, I'm absolutely with him on that, and I don't think it'll affect that. I mean, I think what people probably worried about is that it'll affect the vote, but I don't think it'll affect the vote at all.
No.
Because it's art and it's drama, and I think we're intelligent enough to know the difference between drama and real life. So I think it'll be fine. Do you have a meme of the week?
Okay, so I'm going to try and just explain this because I'm getting a bit sick of doing ones that are just text. Because the whole point is that they're
funny.
Pictures.
Yeah, go ahead.
In it. So, I mean, I'll explain it and then you can see it. So it's a picture of Cristiano Ronaldo and it's like a split screen. One is at the top, one is at the bottom. The top bit is a picture of Cristiano Ronaldo, the footballer, just in case anyone didn't know. And it says, plays with a ball, media. Such a legend, like in quotations. And then the bottom is a picture of like an old-fashioned painting. Conquered the entire country of Norway just to please the Swedish people. Media, in quotations marks, who? Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. Like if you're sick and tired of media bias against Carl Johan the 14th. Sunny.
Well, that's it for this week. Let's say a very happy Christmas to you all.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, and if... The email.
Oh, yeah, go on then.
The email is martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. And to find the songs in full from this week and all the other songs from the other weeks.
Have you put them on from the other week?
No. on Spotify.
Should we do it today? Make that.
Yeah, I will
today.
Do. I'll do it today. You can search Martin and Ruth or Ruthie, Me and My Dad.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.